Title of our lesson is God Will Call. How did God call Simon? Hear. God called Simon by him hearing the things concerning the kingdom of God and hearing about Jesus. Now, beforehand, Simon was somebody prominent, right? Simon was somebody people in our world might call spiritual. That happens today. It's nothing new, folks. He's a great man. And matter of fact, people even said, this guy's a somebody of God. But when God called him, he called him by his word and by the truth. The things preached concerning the kingdom of God. Folks, in our world, people have a hard time distinguishing between the word of God and emotion and things that happen in our lives. Similar situation here. Simon himself also believed. What did he do when he believed? He was baptized into Christ. In Acts chapter 8, now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter and as a lamb before a shearer silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or another man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, preaching Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. God will call. Title of our lesson this morning, focusing back on how God calls people today. How God has called people since the beginning of the New Testament period. Beginning in the scriptures and preaching to them Jesus. You know what? As some proclaim today, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're right. Salvation is pronounced to you and away you go. And that is not correct. The scripture, it says, is immediately they stopped. Immediately they went into the water. And he was baptized for the remission of sins, folks. Now let's, you know, there's spiritual things that happen all through this passage. So I'm asking us, don't confuse when we have emotions and spiritual things happening in our lives with salvation and obeying and being submissive to the gospel of Christ. I don't know about you, but God hasn't told me to go down and talk to somebody. Look for them, okay? I really haven't come upon somebody in my life that's reading Isaiah and asked me what it means. These are spiritual things. These are phenomenal things to me. These are emotional things that happen in our lives. These things happen in our lives, folks. But they do not take precedence over the scriptures and over the truth and over obeying Jesus. Each and every one of these passages that we're looking at this morning, okay, having emotional issues, have God's providence in them, have some miracles in them, divine providence. But those people still have to obey Jesus' teaching to believe and be baptized into Christ. You can't remove that, folks, from God's holy word. In Acts 9, it is written, "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.' So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he may receive his sight.' Then Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he was done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.' And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized." Folks, baptism is an issue of salvation from God's holy word. Nobody in the New Testament was saved without being baptized into Christ. But let's look at this again. This little story, okay? This great story, short story, 8 verses. God speaks directly to Ananias. Ananias speaks right back to God. Paul is blinded. Paul has a dream and a vision. Somebody's going to come see you. All these providential things, miraculous things, Paul receiving his sight miraculously, being blinded miraculously, did not supersede the act of submitting to Jesus and being baptized into Christ. It's an act of love. I love Jesus my Lord enough. I'm going to follow his words and obey. You are blessed this morning to be either hearing this understanding of the truth or to be reminded of this understanding of the truth. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. But as we look at this again, folks, people in the world want to say, "I had this miraculous experience. I had an emotional experience. I know God is with me." Do you think Saul thought God was with him? Jesus spoke to him directly and blinded him directly. But until he arose and was baptized for the remission of his sins, he was not saved. Do not let miraculous, God's providence, emotional things, dreams and visions take supersedence of obeying God's holy word. If I just made that word up, you understood what I said, right? Precedence. Superseded. Because that's what's happening, folks, in our world. Now let me ask you this before we read the next passage of Scripture. If you remove that act of obedience, that act of love, to put yourself under the grace and the mercy of God and in the blood of Christ for your forgiveness of sins, what happens if you teach people they don't have to do that? There's a false hope. It's a tragedy, folks, that the world and people believe that. It's like believing in the baptism of John is going to save you. And it's not. It's the baptism of Jesus. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard him speak with tongues, and them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Once again, folks, look at this passage of Scripture. The Holy Spirit, the power of what Jesus has done and what Jesus went through, the gospel is talked about here. To all the people who witness, and then it says, guess what? Whoever believes on him will receive remission of sins. Now, if we just took that one passage of Scripture and applied it without looking at the context and without continuing to reading, okay, we would only have part of the truth. Because what is somebody do if God will call you, okay, whoever believes on him will receive remission of sins? What does it mean to believe on him? Peter tells. These people were instilled with miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. They could speak in tongues, possibly heal people. They still had not been saved because they had not been baptized into Christ and come in contact with the blood of Jesus. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Even though you have spiritual things happening in your life, folks, God's providence is alive and well. He directs us. He directs us even more so when we're open and our hearts are open to him. But the way he directs us and his providence does not supersede what his word says. They should work together. So if something happens to me, I have a dream or a vision, or I have something emotionally happen to me, or something happens in my... Has this ever happened to you before? Something happened... Man, I've dreamed this before. Does that mean whatever I dreamed and whatever I'm experiencing supersedes God's holy word? What I'm trying to bring us to an understanding this morning, God's will is for us to always revert back to his word. None of that stuff supersedes obeying Jesus and following the disciples' doctrine. Just as we're reading here, these people have all these types of emotional providence of God experiences in their life. And yet they still have to be obedient to the gospel. Confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior and be baptized for the remission of their sins. In Acts 16, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course I skipped over that when I was reading. Samothrace. And the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Here's a person, Lydia, worshipped God, okay, opened her heart to things that Paul had taught, the gospel of Jesus. She was in a place of prayer. She was doing very holy things. She was living righteously. She was a good example. She was a good person. Those things did not put her in salvation or eternal life. Her obedience to the gospel of Jesus and being baptized into Christ put her into eternal life. And not only her whole household. There's three or four places here that we're reading, folks, that the whole house, I think Cornelius is next. And guess what? A whole household. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, that happens sometimes in the prison, doesn't it? In jail. Whole cell block. Jailhouse rock. Whole cell block baptized into Christ. Multiple people at once. God will call, but he calls us through obedience in his holy word. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors were open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your old household." So then they spoke the word of the Lord unto him and to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. See, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being baptized for remission of your sins go together, folks. Okay? Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." They go together. You can't separate one from the other. Many people in our world do today, folks. It's a half-truth. It's not the whole truth. It's not the will of God. Once again, spiritual things happen. Providence of God happens. Miraculous things happen. Jails open, right? People are scared. People want to kill themselves. Emotions abroad. And a person, a disciple of Jesus, says, "We're all here." And then after he witnesses all this miraculous stuff, okay? Can you imagine that? Can you, DC, Brother Ed, you folks, Sister Kelly, Catherine, those that are part of the CASA program, can you imagine an earthquake And all the doors opening at the jail, Boone County Jail, Sister Hannah down, Boone County, Clinton County, all the jails are open. Can you imagine that? You've seen all these miracles happen, just believe. That's what the world wants us to consider and understand and believe and follow as for salvation. And that, folks, is not the truth. It is not the truth. Because the disciples, and I come back to us following Jesus and following the disciples, because the disciples did exactly what Jesus asked them to do. After all the miracles and all the emotions were over, they said, what do I got to do to be saved? Believe on Jesus, be baptized for remission of your sins. Now, if we eliminated, folks, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends, if we eliminated any of this part of these passages, and immediately he and all his family were baptized, if I didn't put that piece of passage in right there and looked at the whole context, I could also eliminate all this passage or this part up here and just say, hey, immediately all his family were baptized without confessing Jesus is the Son of God. We're just going to open the doors and flag people in and have them get out of their car and come up through here and hop the fence, go down through and come out around. See how many hundreds we can run through the water today. You can't do that. That's tried too. It's in history. It's not in the Word of God, but it's in history. People have tried it in history. It's an act of the heart to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of our souls and to be baptized in Christ for remission of sins. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born to Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Sorry, I didn't embolden that. Should have. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Folks, there's going to be some people in our lives that aren't going to want to follow Jesus. They're religious people. They're good people. They're righteous people. They're doing things, but they reject the salvation that Jesus has brought. Or they're confused. And they mix Old and New Testament together in certain passages. I plead with us to follow Jesus and follow the disciples' doctrine that they brought according to Jesus. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And when they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and now the men were about 12 in all. So folks, it's possible to be baptized for the wrong reason or not be baptized into Christ. Obviously, these people were doing good things, great things. There's times in the passages, God's holy word, where Jesus said, if they're doing good things in my name, let them alone. But if we have an opportunity to reason with someone else from the scriptures, to explain to them Here's an example of good people, righteous people, godly people, not saved. Because they were following part of the truth, not the whole truth. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me. This is Paul speaking, and this, I believe, is our last passage of this morning. And he stood, and he said to me, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that same hour I looked up at him, when he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." This is Paul's personal recount of his encounter with Ananias. God will call, and God has called us, folks. Looking at all these passages this morning in the book of Acts of people coming in contact with the blood of Christ, being saved from their sins, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, I ask us this morning, do you feel that God's called you? Are you following his calling? Are you following his son who died and bled for you on the cross? Have you obeyed Jesus? Have you experienced all kinds of emotional things and positive things? And are you a good, righteous person? Are you a faithful person, but you haven't obeyed the gospel? You haven't been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins to have eternal life, as we've seen here this morning in the book of Acts. We plead with you, we plead with you, we plead with you to follow Jesus and obey his words as we stand and sing selected songs this morning.